You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
Again, welcome to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. I don't know why I'm stuttering over this. Welcome to the show. On this show, we have, well, first before I get started, our calling number 909-265-9189 if you want to join us. We have a big show lined up. We have a lot of information on this program. Singer Toni Braxton versus actor Shamar Moore. Kind of a non-issue, but we're going to talk about that. Tennis pros Sloane Stephens versus Serena Williams. And a black journalist said that he was concerned about white stereotypes on TV and wrote an article. We have that in the queue. Also, we have entertainment updates. A lot of shows have been renewed. We're probably are not going to talk about those shows that were canceled, but if you want to talk about them, you can join us and talk about those as well. We have that and other things on tap. If you missed last week's show, you can check us out in the archives at espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC. That's Black on Black Crime. That's espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC. Now, last week's show, we talked about NBA star Kobe Bryant versus Pamela Bryant, his mother. It was an interesting show, to say the least. Black on Black Racism, which was the marketing of Mountain Dew versus its black customers. We talked about those commercials and the half-hearted apology by Lil Wayne to the family that they didn't accept. And we had author Clinton Galloway on from Anatomy of a Hustle, how cable came to South Central Los Angeles. You have to check that out. He said it's a cautionary tale about what can happen when you're dealing with your people and politics and all of that good stuff. It was a great, great show. So if you want to check it out, go back and check it out. It was last week's show in the archives, and I want to say hey to Clinton Galloway if he's listening, and thanks for the great show last week. So while I'm at it, want to say hey to hey to all of those people who've been tuning in every week and joining us, those in the chat room, those on the line, if you want to join in, you can pretty much, hit one on your phone. We will let you in. And I want to say hey to Lavinia, who is in the chat room. She gave me a pronunciation. I think I butcher your name every week. So just want to say that I appreciate you. And I'm reading 12 different things. So I'll get it right. I will get it right. Or just call in. We will bring you in and so I can hear it. So anyway, I want to welcome you again to the show. And before we get started on the show, here's a couple of things that are in the queue for me. Again, Clinton Galloway, Anatomy of a Hustle, How Cable Television Came to South Central Los Angeles. Just before, you know, I go on any further, the book was about, it came out in October 2012. Anatomy of a Hustle tells the story of Clinton and his brother, Dr. Carl Galloway, as they entered into a bidding process to be awarded the cable TV rights to South Central Los Angeles. Their bid was derailed by corruption that prevailed in the LA's mayor's office and the LA City Council members. All of the bidding groups, out of all the bidding groups, only the Galloway group had the financing to build the system, but they were denied. It's a great book. You should check it out. You can go on their website, which is, wait a minute, I just had it in front of me. Well, anyway, go to solosyracuse.com. We have a link. You can hit the book there or contact us at bobc@solosyracuse.com. Now, last week, singer Lauryn Hill, was in court after paying $500,000 of her back taxes, and she received a couple of months of confinement and house arrest. But the moral of this story is Alicia Keys and Stevie Wonder wrote letters of support to a New Jersey judge on her behalf, and it was great to see that other Grammy Award winning singers or other singers or high-profile people came out to help her out. So that happened in the news. Denzel Washington, Maya Angelou were also ranked in the top 10 of new readers of the New Reader's Digest Trust poll. I didn't understand it, but the top 100 most trusted people in America ranked third and fifth respectively, Denzel and Maya Angelou. But others on that list were President Obama, First Lady Michelle Obama, Robin Roberts, Tony Dungy, who's a former NFL coach, Muhammad Ali, Whoopi Goldberg, Oprah Winfrey, and Steve Harvey. They were all on that list. And that reminds me, you know, when it comes down to it, we need to kind of have our own list about what's going on. So I'm thinking about it. We might have to do our most beautiful people list according to soulofsyracuse.com. So I may put out a survey out there, and we may do one this year since those of us seem to always be so crazy. Now, there is news that a film about a biopic about Josephine Baker is currently in development. Now, the producer of the film, W. Lance Rainbow, has publicly stated that Rihanna is one of the most talented performers of this millennium, and with her unique acting and performing abilities, I have no doubt that she will bring Josephine Baker back to life on the big screen. So he is shooting to get Rihanna to play Josephine Baker. Now, I won't go through all of the negative comments that people talked about when they mentioned Rihanna's name, but you know, one of the internet comments that I felt kind of interested in is something that our Houston correspondent, Daniel, would probably be happy about. But a lot of the comments, probably, I would have to say, probably about 70% of them said that they think Maya was a good choice. You know, and one of the comments said, I think Maya's a good choice because she can dance. And she was trained as a trained dancer as she grew up. And someone else said, that's even a role that Zoe Saldana could play. But a lot of them was negative about her because of the other recent biopic that was out there. But just wanted to kind of throw those out of what's going on in entertainment news. I want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. We're on Esprit Radio and on ACN. If you want to join us, our number is 909-265-9189. We have on the program today for Black on Black Crime. Oh, by the way, in case you're new to Black on Black Crime, I guess I should say this. Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. Now, on this program, singer Toni Braxton versus Shamar Moore, some alleged comments that Toni Braxton may or may not have said about Shamar Moore, tennis pros Sloane Stephens, I think she's only 19, versus Serena Williams, and a black journalist, said he was concerned that about white stereotypes on TV. This would be Aaron Diggins, I think is how you pronounce his name, or Deegans, if you want to go look that story up. The article is called "Hicksploitation and Other White Stereotypes Seen on TV." We'll talk about that too as we go along. Now, before we move to the phone lines, I just want to remind you that you can check out Professional Styles on this network on Sundays. Kathleen had a great show, and we are going to play play one of the songs from her guest. I'm going to wait for her to come on to tell you who she is and introduce her in the right way, so that you can hear one of the great, what I think is a great song. I love songs where it makes you feel like you can sing. Like, so she sang so well, she and Nona Gay, that it makes you think that you can sing. So I'll have to tell you about that a little bit later, and we'll talk about that as the show develops and introduce her. She gave me permission to do this, so we'll talk about that later. It's kind of a surprise, that's why I'm not saying her name. But I just want to make sure I put that out there. Also, you can check out Esprit Net News on Esprit Radio. That's you can check us on our BTR. You just go to Esprit Radio at SolarSyracuse.com and check us out. Every Thursday, we do a week worth of news in one sitting. We have a lot of news stories, and that's why we're bringing some news stories into here, into this show, before we get started. So with that being said, we're going to take a break and come back. I'll do a little bit of news before we get into the show and give everybody a chance to settle in. You're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio and on ACN, on ACN Network. So sit back and relax. We will get with you. Just remember, our call-in number is 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. Join us in chat. You can bring in some topics if you want, or you have some conversation that you want to talk about. Hey, feel free to join us. We'll be here momentarily, hopefully for Finesse and Kai, and when those guys get on the board, we're going to start the show. So sit back and relax. We're going to take a quick break and come back. You're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. We'll be back after this.
Impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call or visit fatherhood.gov to learn more.
How many more? How many more street corners?
How many more schools?
How many more movie theaters?
How many more halftime moments of silence?
Enough.
For the children of Sandy Hook Elementary.
Demand a plan.
You can't win without a plan.
I chose the game.
I played the game.
This right here?
Oh, baby, this is not a game.
It's time.
It's time for our leaders to do something.
Demand a plan right now.
Right now. Now.
What's better, doing two things at once or just one?
Two.
You sure?
I am absolutely positive.
Two times is awesome. The thing I can do is wave my head and
where
you...
That's amazing. I've never seen anything like that.
Look, I can do...
Hold on, I'm watching this.
I'm kind of dizzy.
It's not complicated. Doing two things at once is better. And only AT&T's network lets you talk and surf on your iPhone 5.
This is a story about BK from BK. Bernard King from Brooklyn, New York. It's 1984. The garden is packed, and I'm sitting in the last row. I mean, I could touch the roof. And Bernard King, he was giving the Nets the business. 10, 20, 40 points. Second half, 50, 60 points. He was stopping and popping, posted and toasted. All hail the King.
Now, you know what? You never know who's going to wear the crown next.
Dad, where do babies come from?
Well, there's a planet. It's called Babylandia. That's right, it's filled with babies. Uh-huh, babies of all kinds. And when the time is just right, there's a space launch.
All systems go.
And that, son, is where babies come from.
But Jake said babies are made when mommies and daddies...
You go, play with us on the bus.
Well, here's on the bus, go round and round, round and round, round and round. Wheels on the bus, go round and round.
Starting Sunday, this coming Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a new show called Professional Style, where we talk about singles, professionals, parents, travel, lifestyle, and living. If you are a professional, if you're single, you're a parent, or whatever your status in life, Professional Style, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on Ask Kathleen Network.
If you don't mind, would you pull that bass up a little bit more, Mike? Pull up them drums, a little high. I want to hear them drums kicking. Kicking so hard, you can feel it way back in Mississippi.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. You're on... Wait a minute. I'm Vanessa's on the board, so, you know, I keep looking back and forth. You're on Black on Black Crime. Today's show... We are talking about Shamar Moore. Well, actually, it's kind of the other way around. Singer Toni Braxton versus Shamar Moore. Also, tennis pros Sloane Stephens, the young tennis pro, versus superstar Serena Williams. We also have a black journalist from the Tampa Bay Times and a freelance contributor to NPR. He's asking a question about hicksploitation and other white stereotypes on TV. We're going to talk about that right after we break in Finesse. What's going on, Finesse?
Good afternoon. I'm going to say good morning. What's going on, Rome?
I know. I'm kind of like, my time is off for some reason. We had a little snow here, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah, it was kind of like freezing rain snow. And that was about, I was coming from a meeting about a half hour ago, and it was snow.
Wow. I know it's really cold down here. I had to turn on the heat last night. That was not a good thing. BGE gonna get me.
Oh, I know, that's right. Yeah, the heat did kick on so last night here too. So you know how that goes with the power companies.
Yeah, we need a break on that.
I don't think you get a TO in the middle of that. I don't think they're gonna do it.
Now, I don't think, they're probably happy because they probably run around saying more money, more money.
Oh, well, you know what, regulation, they figure during the summer when they don't make as much money, there's a standard charge because they don't get as much money unless they bill you.
Don't money make money where? Man, it'd be hot as daylight down here.
I know. Hey, like I said, air condition kicks in as soon as the cold stops.
Man, I'm old fashioned. Forget that air conditioning and paying that money. Let me stick a fan in the window.
Well, before we go to front, I want to say Lavina, who's in the chat room, said that BGE is getting us. And so she says she thinks the gas and electric company is in cahoots with Mother Nature. So I'm going to say they are happy. They're smiling at Mother Nature.
Because BGE just had the nerve to ask for a rate increase, and they just got one, I want to say, 3 months ago or something like that, and they asked for another one.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I'm going to take it back to the old school. You come to my crib, it's going to be nothing but candles. You're going to see Laura Ingalls walking around there.
As long as you don't start wearing the black hats and have that shave like your Amish, we're going to be good.
What? A black Amish man? It might happen.
Hey, we know it could. That shouldn't be the problem. All right, so
go down to the river and wash my clothes with some rocks.
Oh God, what a rock! All right, well we're not. You know, we ain't sweating the Amish people. Do you know New York State has the largest Amish settlements in the last 2 years in the country?
Well, you know what? I did see that, but I'm actually planning a bus trip to Amish country because they have some of the best natural food.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're at our farmer's market all the time. Mm-hmm. We have Amish goods there. So
But
yeah, you can hide out and get off the grid pretty easily if you want to. So stop complaining about them people.
Hey man, don't put my business out there. You know the government be looking at me.
That's what I said. Just get off the grid.
don't give them any heads up.
Hey, wait a minute. In the chat room, you have a supporter saying, "I'm hot with don't get her started. She's hot with Maryland right now, with everything right now in Maryland. So I guess it's hot down there, or it's cold because of the gas and electric company."
It's cold down here, but hot because all the stupid stuff that's been happening down here, man. That's a whole nother show. Maryland remind me of Little New Orleans.
Oh, really? It's getting that bad?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know when you beg to be in the house at 11 p.m., something's going on.
Right. You know, that is a problem. Yeah. And plus, she said it's stupid, and that's another story. She said there's a rain tax. Like, you guys get taxed for everything down there.
Man, we get rain tax, leaf tax. There's a we actually have, last year they passed a thing called a bottle tax, and I went to go buy some wine. One of my favorite wines, it's like $9.99 or $10.99, something like that, after the bottle tax, and she will confirm if she buys alcohol.
I think I dropped you. Did I lose finesse?
No, I'm here.
Okay. I didn't hear
I'm
you
here.
Said she'll confirm that
she'll
you,
confirm,
buy alcohol.
You buy alcohol. There's a bottle tax. I bought a bottle of alcohol. I think it's $9.99 or $10.99. My bill came to $14 and some change.
Man, how much is the bottle tax?
I have no idea, but I was so pissed I started to give it back.
Okay, I guess we can't use that. The bottle tax is not a black-on-black crime since everybody gets one.
It is a black-on-black crime when you want your favorite wine.
All right, that's in your world. We won't even go there. I want to invite everybody.
I can't get my ripple.
No, that would be your black issue, in your black world. See how that rolls?
I think there's a black on black crime. You're trying to tell me I don't live in your black world. I have my own black world.
All right. No, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. We have not gotten started yet. We got started, but we didn't get started yet. Our topics today are Shamar Moore. It's not Shamar Moore. He didn't commit the crime. This is going to be Toni Braxton versus Shamar Moore, and we have Sloan Stephens versus, I forgot her name already. Sloan Stephens versus Serena Williams. But before we get started with that, matter of fact, we should probably start with that. But I do have to ask you a question about your take on last week's show with author Clinton Galloway. I want to ask you about that.
Actually, I would have to say, from the response that we've got from that would, and I know we've done some great shows, but the response we got to that has been so overwhelming. And I just want to say, you know, to the people out there that listen and support the show, we will try to bring you more guests every once in a while like that to educate you folks. I think the biggest thing I heard was how eye-opening it was, and to know that this stuff has been going on. They were surprised that this stuff has still been happening and going on for so long. And it really opened people's eyes up about media and black media and, you know, what's selling out, what support. You know, it was really good. So, I mean, it was great. I even listened to it again, and I was like, wow, this was a great show.
Yep. And one of the things about it, and I got immediately after the show a lot of responses about this show, and we're just kind of encourage everyone to buy the book. And even if you can bring him in your area and you want to hear him speak, that you can catch author Clinton Galloway at his website. I think it's anatomyofahustle.com. So you can go check him out, or just Google it and you'll find him, or go to solasyracuse.com. We're putting a link on the site for him there. But it was a great show for me because of, not because of the questions that I had, because I was kind of, not even talking because I was listening to what he had to say. But just for the response that we got, everyone said, you should have more shows like that. So it's cool to know that we have an audience that actually really wants the information and it's good. We don't feel like we're giving out information in vain sometimes.
Well, you know, and I like to share the audience the reason why we don't, because, you know, and SP is good about this, they really have to fit the format of the show. And I know a lot of people don't understand that, but they really have to fit in what we're doing, and the message has to be there. And he fit the bill from top to bottom. And then just the information he was giving and freely, and to find out those that we looked up to who was trying to stop him or wanted money from him in order for them to back him is amazing.
Yeah. And in addition to that, one of the things that I keep saying we have to be conscious of is that everybody is not your friend. They may act like your friend, and they're not. And so he found it, you know, quite surprising that when he went up against people who he thought was going to be friends opposed to foes, they were the ones that were trying to extort him out of money. You know, we need X amount of percent of your business before we let you do business. So it was just kind of eye-opening from that perspective. But, you know, we – like I told him after show, I talked to him a little bit after show, and like I told him, there are those of us who get it, and so you just got to keep it moving.
Yeah. And again, you know, you explain what the show is about, but I had so many people that was contacting me, and they were – those that got it, they like to play on words that we use.
Yes, because it is not about us talking about criminal activity. It is the concept of thought. So the concept of thought says that if you overtly focus and criticize black people when you don't do that to anybody else, that is wrong. It's pretty much the as we are about to bash some people. I thought we'd say that to say that's the premise of the show. Because when we do it again, we know that we're doing it. So at least we're conscious of it. Which leads me to our first one today. Matter of fact, I'll start off with the Sloane Stephens. Now, do you know who Sloane Stephens is?
Yeah, I know. She was a former pupil of Serena.
Well, she's a 19-year-old Sloane Stephens, a tennis pro. And she actually plays very well. You know,
she's gonna be up and coming. She's gonna make a nice little run as well.
Yes. Now, Sloane Stephens, technically, it's her versus Serena, but she squashed it even before it got out. So the reason I am bringing this up in the matter of black on black crime is that even when you're young, we talked about this with the Mountain Dew stuff, with the young kid making a commercial talking about he doesn't see what the old people find racist about it. Sloane Stephens, 19 years old, caught a lot of heat for ripping Serena Williams for her lack of friendliness towards her, including deleting the young tennis star from Twitter and BlackBerry Messenger. So Stephens also said in an interview with ESPN Magazine that she didn't appreciate a tweet that Williams posted in January. She took it as a subliminal reference to respect Stephens, or to Stephens, saying that Stephens owed her, and this was her tweet, paving the way is the tweet. So Stephens took that personally, like she was saying that she needed to respect her, right? That was in her mind. So Tennis.com reported the two had since resolved their differences at the U.S. Fed Cup in April, but Stephens' interview was in March. Right? And so since they were actually cool, by the time it came out, it kind of started a little fire. But since her comments on the upcoming ESPN, the magazine, Sloane offered Serena Williams nothing but praise on Twitter, saying, quote, guilty of being naive, is what Stephens tweeted, much respect for at Serena Williams, a champion, the GOAT, we spoke, we're good, onward, pound life lesson. I have much more respect for Sloane now. I had a lot of respect for her to begin with, but that is growing up right before your eyes. She's only 19, so she could have just been, they're treating me this way, and I can't believe they're doing that. And Serena had been there for a while. So I wanted to say this because there is no black-on-black crime here. She squashed it before it even got into gossip, which I am proud of.
Well, you know, that is a great thing. And, of course, you know, she and Serena probably had a conversation, and Serena probably schooled her real quick on the do's and don'ts. But, again, you know, that goes to having a PR person that could say, hey, you know, you need to not do this or not do that. And it makes it really hard when you don't have that, or just the fact of being young, that these folks have access to social media all the time or the phone, so they don't think, they just react.
Right, well.
So I'm glad she's mature enough and they squashed it, and that's good.
Right, but they squashed it before there was one, and so that's what my, you know, in doing black-on-black crime, it usually gets out of hand before this actually happens. So in the nature of black-on-black crime, it's kind of like Sloan, whatever her thought is about the grown folks not being as friendly as they should have been towards her, she said, hey, you know what? I've grown up since then. Onward. And so unlike, you know, I know this is not a black-on-black crime, but did you see the Tiger Woods you were watching Tiger Woods this weekend, right?
Or well, yesterday. Of course.
And I can't remember the guy's name.
Sergio,
whoever that idiot.
Garcia.
Okay. Yeah, so that idiot goes ahead the day before and says, Tiger isn't the friendliest person to play with, right? So he's always had a little issue with Tiger. So they didn't get matched up, or they got matched up because of they were both at the top of the board. And he's acting like Tiger did something to him. So when Tiger won, he goes in a press conference and says he's the victim. Now, if he was black, that would have been a black-on-black crime, but it's not. You don't have to like everybody. So I am glad that Tiger won't even mention his name out loud, like I wasn't planning on it before you did. But Tiger won't even mention his name in press conferences when people ask him about their rivalry and words going back and forth, because there are no words coming from Tiger. So, again, learn a lesson.
You know, what was so funny about that was, you know, I think it's just a jealous thing. I think the whole thing with Garcia is he's upset because he's not Tiger. Well, put in the work like Tiger, and then don't choke when you could have either won or forced a playoff, and you choke not once, but three times on your last two holes. And twice you was in a drink. That's not Tiger. That may be Tiger in your head, but that's not Tiger's fault.
Right. Tiger had nothing to do with you choking. And so with him choking as well as him being petty, like what he did is he just pretty much tried to get in Tiger's head. You know?
Yeah.
And it's funny when people try to make you be sympathetic towards them and they are taking a shot. And since we're talking sports, bear with us. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. And you can call in to join us, 909-265-9189. If you're on the line already, you can hit 1 to join the program. We're just starting the program. Our main topic today will be, I keep saying them in reverse order, Finesse, this is my bad, Tony Braxton versus Shamar Moore. Not that big of a deal, but that's our main topic today. What I was thinking about, Finesse, is this. You know how the Chicago Bulls prided themselves on roughing up Miami, and when Miami started getting rough, they started complaining they weren't getting no calls?
Yeah, of course.
That is hilarious to me. So it's kind of the same thing. Stop doing stuff to people and then start crying when it happens to you.
Yeah, and that's basically what it was. When, you know, he's mad at Tiger because Tiger's got more people following him than he does, and you know how the crowd reacts, and everybody has gone through that with Tiger, and everybody has learned to play with it. Some learn to play well, and some use it as an opportunity to be competitive. So for Sergio to go on and on about that, it was crazy. And for the Bulls to even complain about my heat, that's just nuts. That's what you get. You don't, Dwayne Wade is hood. LeBron James can be hood, and then you got some other hood players on the bench, and they choose to be professional. But if you're going to take it to that level, then they're going to come down and meet you at that level as well.
Right, and that is just an illusion that everybody is just going to be passive. Miami can get a little rough with you too. So, hey, they're not soft. Remember, people kept complaining about that. All you got to do is bang them a little bit, and then throw them off their game.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can't even stop them.
And you know, once you get a taste of winning, it changes that.
Oh, yeah. Now you know you can't beat you now, right? All right. Let's take a break, quick break. We're going to take a quick break out of here, and we'll come back with more Black on Black Crime. And we're going to start off, before we go to the Shamar Moore, Turner Braxton thing, I want to talk about this reporter from NPR, because I know we're going to yell about this. It'll take more time than the Tony Braxton one. But we'll talk about that. We're going to come back. You're listening to Black on Black Crime on SB Radio. Thanks, Ms. Quiet Storm, for joining us in the building, in the chat room. And, hey, if you want to join in, just give us a call. Hit one. We'll catch you on the other side. We'll be back after this message.
When was the last time something made your jaw drop? Campbell's has 24 new soups that will make it drop over and over again. From jam and jerk chicken to creamy gouda bisque, see what's new from Campbell's. It's amazing what soup can do.
Straight from Red Lobster Chefs to your table for a limited time. It's our seafood dinner for two for just $25. A handcrafted seafood feast made to share. First, you each get salad and unlimited Cheddar Bay biscuits. Then choose two from a wide variety of chef-inspired entrees, like our new honey garlic crispy shrimp or new seafood lover's linguine. Round out your seafood dinner with your choice of either an appetizer or dessert to share. Don't miss our seafood dinner for two, just $25. At Red Lobster, where we seafood differently.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. You know, I had to start this segment off with Maya. I don't know if you heard the first news story I did earlier, Finesse, with Josephine Baker. One of the producers was talking about Rihanna, but most people said that Maya would be a better Josephine Baker.
Yeah, so, I agree with that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, too. They said because of her dancing that she would actually be a better Josephine Baker. But anyway, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. You can join us 909-265-9189. Let's talk about a black journalist from the Tampa Bay Times, a freelance contributor to NPR. Eric, what is it, Diggums? I think is how you pronounce his name. He wrote an article called "Hicksploitation and Other White Stereotypes Seen on TV." Now, I think it's Deegans, but Eric Deegans is making a case that the white working class shows are not boycotted the same as black shows because blacks use media like Fox and CNN, and they give harsh coverage. Now, I don't know where he's been, but Fox and CNN does not do harsh coverage on behalf of black people. I don't know where he went on that. He said, in addition to them radio commentators, I guess he was figuring Tom Joyner and all of those guys, and Steve Harvey and Michael Bazin, he said, between them and the online petitions, we move more quickly as black people to protect our interests when we have bad shows. So he said, in comparison, he compares the canceled All My Baby's Mamas from Oxygen to what he calls blatant stereotypes of white subcultures. Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, Duck Dynasty, Mob Wives, Breaking Amish, Jersey Shore, and refers to the barely legal prospective brides that were on my, and they were trying to marry their cousins at that, on My Big Fat American Gypsy Wedding. Now, he said, there aren't as many new shows like that about African Americans or Latinos, especially if they're working class. So, he asked, so why haven't those shows stereotyping white people seen protest just as strong as the black shows? He says, we got a lot of practice. This is him talking about black folks. we got a lot of practice criticizing degrading images of black and brown people, so activists know how to gather the news stories, book media appearances, and assemble the petitions to the press in their case, and advertisers get nervous, and programmers think twice. So I want to ask you this. Well, he said, and what many forget is that it can be just as easy to stereotype white working class folks and just as hard to scrub those images off your TV screen. So, Finesse, I'm going to give you at this. From his perspective, he's just making a case, and I can see this as a commentary, he's making a case that the white society doesn't complain as much as we do because we're organized in our complaining. Isn't that a twist on activism?
No, it's a twist on this man is smoking something. Why would he care? Look, white folks don't care. They're not going to complain about a show because their philosophy is, if I don't like it, I'll change the channel. And they do that. And the other thing is that when they make our shows or get people, which we've talked about this millions of times on the show, when they find somebody black to produce a kind of show that they like to see black folks shuck and jive in, they support that because that's the belief, that's their belief or what they think we are. The problem is we as black folks, we support it. Now, where is his commentary on supporting shows that should be canceled? Deception is one. That was a pretty good show. Late Night with TJ Holmes. I think I'm doing that right. Why?
Yep.
Where is his support for that? Well, I don't care. You know what? There's a balance. I don't care. You know, I'm gonna be one to tell you. As much as I dislike Basketball Wives, I watch it, one, because of the paper, but at the same time, I'm always doing something serious, so it's downtime for me. It's silly stuff while I'm watching. So there's a balance. I could care less. I know that that's not the type of person I want to be with, or that's not to say that all black women are like that. But when you're playing right into their hands, crying about something, what? Who cares what they watch? I don't care.
Well,
I don't like Honey Boo Boo when I ain't watching it.
Well, and so my whole take on this, even when I read his article, and I didn't get it, but when I realized that he was black, I really didn't get it. Like, that was his interest in why there are so many stereotypical white working class shows, and there needs, I guess he was making a case that there needs to be more black ones. Like, he's saying,
what,
well,
more
how
black
we can't
stupid
have
shows?
More ghetto shows?
We got enough.
No, not in comparison to the white ones, but we're minorities in this country, so I figure that he's saying that we have to, there's no reason to not have All My Baby's Mamas on TV because nobody really complains about Honey Boo Boo. I guess. But, okay.
Boy, if I could say the N-word on this show,
I would have some choice words for him. You sure can.
I would have some choice words for him. That doesn't even make sense. Why would you, they already give us as stereotypes, all right? And black women can speak, those who have come up and are better than that can speak how they're looked at based upon Atlanta Housewives, Basketball Wives, Love and Hip Hop. They can speak on the kind of stuff that they both do because people look at that and say, hey, that's how all black women are. Or they get, if they have real hair, they're questioning, well, why you have, you know, is that hair real or is that a weave? They hear that stuff. Why would we want to have a show on where black men are already stereotyped as all we do is eat chicken, watermelon, play sports, and have sex? Why would we want to have a show on about this fool and his
stereotypes? Yeah, you can't. I mean, I don't understand why he's advocating for it if he's saying that they're not concerned about their stereotypes, or should we be concerned about ours? So that's why it was confusing. But I read this blog by Tambe Obenson, who writes for his blog is Shadow and Act, right? And he said there's no comparison at all, given the sum total of the black experiences. Given that the sum total of black experiences are limited to a handful of story types, often at extremes with stock character depictions. He said, I believe it all falls under something called white privilege. He said, let's have a conversation in another 50 years or so when we hope the landscape has changed dramatically and the so-called post-racial America that some seem to think that we're currently living in, only if only because we have a black president, or only because we have a president who isn't white. Wait until that actually is a little closer to becoming reality. So what he's saying, that if our president was not black, would you be saying that we're post-racial? And why would you make comments saying that the stereotype is not that harmful? You can't say that it's not harmful. Why don't we encourage more stereotypical shows when we can't get good shows on the air?
Well, let me explain this to you, and I'm going to give you an example. I've spent this morning looking at, they had what they call the unveils in New York. Unveils are when the TV network CBS, NBC, Fox, I leave anybody, CBS, they unveil their new television lineup for next year, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen they have one which I'm really intrigued to watch it because I love this guy as an actor. Blair Underwood is the new Ironside.
Yes.
New different twist. I've watched the promos for all the different shows that NBC is going to have for their lineup. And I purposely, you know, they tell us to leave the comments what you think. All the comments were about all the white shows.
Mm-hmm.
One comment was about Ironside. It says it looks good. I used to like Ironside. I'm going to watch it. So, again, white folks ain't checking for any kind of show that shows black people in a different light.
Right.
At all. So for him to come out, and he was on NPR talking about why is beyond me. Why would you want? That's not equal. We can't even be equal with a regular show with a good actor on a television show. Why would we want to be? Why would you want more stereotypes?
Yeah, yeah, and like some of the comments were just saying also that they don't know if he's saying that black people are just complaining too much, or is he saying how come white folks aren't advocating more? Like he wasn't really clear, but he was pointing out in a very small way. He only named that one black show, and he did say, you know, and this is what's crazy about it. You'll have to read it. I can't quote it, but I remember it, where he said things like Real Housewives of Atlanta and Basketball Wives are still a different demographic because they have money. He's saying beyond that. Like,
what does he think they – wait a minute. What does he think they get money? See, he shouldn't be talking about topics that he does not know what he's talking about. In order to get money, your show has to do good in ratings for even advertisers. Advertisers are looking for a certain demographic, a certain age group where they're going to get money. And, but
right.
You know, I'm not mad at Basketball. They do well, but that's because you have people that are nosy and want to look into those lives. You have whites who want to know about black folks but don't have any black friends that they can really talk to because they get offended or they just don't know how to bring it up. So they go into this world on TV and they say, oh, this is what black folks are. And they see us act silly and stupid and crazy. So they begin to think that's what it is. And then you have the young girls, 30 and under, who really give into this, and then you see it act portrayed out in reality. So then they think, oh, well, that is reality. So they watch TV to get a function of black life that they think is real, but is not.
Right.
So for this guy to even talk, because if he wants to talk, let's talk real television. Let's look at Deception with Megan Good and Laz Alonso. NBC
right.
Hardly ran any promos for the show. They weren't on any circuit like David Letterman, Jay Leno, Conan O'Brien. They weren't on those. They didn't get the kind of interviews they get. Only even if they got something with BET, and that was like a 30-second promo commercial, whatever.
Right.
And then a rollout on Bounce, when Bounce did a preview of New Falls lined up, and that was it. But when you have a chance and you're white, you can go on all these different networks. You're on Entertainment Tonight. You're on Us Weekly. You're all over the place. Yeah, your show's going. You're getting self-promotion for the show, in which the show is supposed to set up. So we don't get the same kind of – it's not the same. Because I'm telling you, they're going to cancel Ironside before it get going. I'm pulling for that show. I've seen right,
don't,
the.
Don't do that. Don't give them negative finesse.
I'm pulling for it too. But I'm looking. You got to remember, I'm looking at it from the inside, and what people are saying. And these are program directors. These are advertisers. These are people that go out and support the show. And I'm telling you, the Iron Side is good. I've already seen an episode. It's
right.
good.
Okay. We're going to talk about Ironside later in our entertainment thing. I did have that down to talk about, so you know we'll definitely talk a little bit about Ironside because I think a lot of comments about Ironside was hopefully they use the Quincy Jones music to Ironside just to get that back out there. Now, here are some internet comments about this particular journalist's impression, and one of them says, "This is easy because despite any stereotypes of whites that may appear on television or movies, there are images of whites that are so diverse they work to counteract stereotypes. There is a balanced representation that does not exist with black characters." Now, I think that was a great comment to what this guy is saying. And another comment said, "The writer is pandering to a white audience by writing this piece. Let individual ethnic groups, ethnic geographical groups, or specific demographic groups fight their own battles. People don't care or lose 1 minute of sleep about your concerns. Don't act like you care about theirs. For the record, Italian groups do protest, and they did protest Jersey Shore and a slew of mafia films that came out through the Hollywood pipeline. So don't say that we are the only we're the only group that complains about how our images look." And also,
well,
go ahead.
You know, to correct that, I know there were some back in the day that complained about the films and how they were being portrayed, but that got quickly squashed. But what I do like about the Italian community, there's a certain word that they were saying on the show, which is the equivalent of the N word that we call ourselves, or.
Yeah,
me and
well,
my boy call
that.
Myself. They stopped that, and this is, and not only did they stop it, there were some Italians in the community who did it the old school way and rolled up on them kids and said, "If we hear this coming out of your mouth again, we gonna handle it." They didn't just roll up on MTV; they rolled up on those kids.
Right, but you know how this goes. If you roll up on folks, you know how our community is. Then we'll be acting like we get like we're bougie on that stuff, so I don't want to
we'll get funny, and then we'll have another reality show on that. And
oh,
we don't
God.
Need that. But you know, the thing is, if you're going to complain about something that we are not supporting that we should. And I hate every week we bring up Tyler Perry, but I got to bring this up because it ties in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I was totally against this when they came out. I said, why are they putting Tyler Perry's name on this movie, Peoples?
Mm-hmm.
It's coming through his house, but he didn't write it, direct it, none of that. Miss Chisholm did, but it has Tyler Perry's name all over it. It did such a just disservice to this film this week. It underperformed, I think, under $5 million. And I'm telling you, it was one of the funniest movies I've seen. But I'm telling you right now, a lot of people, because I've seen it in the comments, oh, man, another Tyler Perry movie? Man,
exactly.
I ain't going to see that. And that's what we need to be saying. We need to stop that. But you see how that all got started was from certain people being mad, jealous, and put it out in the public eye. And so now people start saying, you know what? He right. I don't like Tyler Perry. And
okay,
we kind of stopped that. If he's going to complain about that.
Right. And so here is my Tyler Perry 2 cents, since we're going to bring Tyler up again. It was, you're right about it giving the film a certain stigma because it's Tyler Perry. Whether you like Tyler Perry or not is not even a question. People who like Tyler Perry. But that film is not a Tyler Perry film. So if you were going to see a Tyler Perry-ish film, that wasn't it. But it had Tyler Perry's name on it.
Which was a big mistake. Yeah.
Which most people said, hey, put Tyler Perry's name on it, and, you know, Essence Atkins shouldn't be saying nothing about Tyler Perry. Remember all of that? People tag stuff to Tyler Perry, and it's a stigma. Tyler
yep.
Perry is going to become a stigma or a certain whatever detriment
if you don't,
somehow.
He has a new show coming up on the old network. I guarantee, well, I don't want to guarantee, I can't guarantee that, but I bet you it doesn't perform as it should because it's his name. And he's in the promos,
yeah.
and Tyler Perry presents, and I have nothing but mad love and respect for him. But he's now it comes to the point where, Tyler, you got to be paying attention to this, and now you got to come
exactly.
up with how you're going to market it better because you got to
right.
step out of the way because there's so much negative stuff tied to his name, and it shouldn't be because he didn't do anything
right.
wrong.
But here's the thing. In difference to Spike Lee, there
mm-hmm.
are some films that came out under 40 Acres and a Mule that you don't know that are Spike Lee films.
Exactly.
And
that's,
Malcolm
and that's
Lee and those
great
guys
point.
Have done great jobs. And I used to say that all the time when people started complaining about Spike Lee saying, you know, he has no successful film, Do the Right Thing, and blah, blah, blah. And he's mentored all of these other directors through his film house.
Right.
And nobody even knows that they're Spike Lee films.
Right. And you don't see, like, in the, what's my one of my favorite movies, Love and Basketball. It doesn't
yeah.
say Spike Lee.
It doesn't say Spike Lee. Yeah.
Right. And if it did, people wouldn't go see it. And here's and to
exactly.
prove that point, would approve that point when, the movie he just released last year, Red. I did an interview
Red
with him.
Red
Hook. Red Hook.
Yeah.
Red Hook Summer. The movie did horrible. The movie did horrible. Why? Because Spike Lee's name, and it's not fair. It's not right. So I don't want people to go back and tell Spike Finesse and Esprit was talking about you, and they said no. We're proving something here. When Spike Lee's name was on it, people didn't go, and that includes black folks.
Right, and so that's going to start happening to Tyler Perry. See, people didn't see that coming, but once you start over stigmatizing one side opposed to the other, then you're going to have that stuff, that kind of stuff happen.
Yep, and to answer, I see Lavina in the crossroom. She said they did a tremendous job of crossing over and becoming popular with non-blacks, which whereas the movies that he did without Madea did okay with us, but didn't cross over. But the point to that, Lavina, is even the crossover movies did well because white folks, Tyler Perry was the new it. But once, and I'm going to say this, because Hollywood has not been happy with Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry has been the most successful writer-director in Hollywood for 7 years straight. 7 years straight. And we're talking about putting as least amount of money into a film and what it grosses. So if a film cost Tyler Perry $50 million and he made $80 million, there's no one else that has been doing that.
Wait a minute,
so,
and you're talking about the fact that Lionsgate is not an American company either.
Exactly.
So they're not giving a lot of American black folks through American companies any opportunity, and Lionsgate is still making a mint. So that's probably adding on to the hate of Tyler Perry by studios.
Right, and then when you turn on TBS and TNT, Lavina mentioned The Family That Prays Together. That's one of my favorites. But when you turn on TNT and TBS, now they have Tyler Perry movies. Because they do well, and he's getting paid for that. The problem is, and this is white folks, they look to us for entertainment setting the trends. That's something black folks don't understand. They look to us. So if we say this person is this, this, and that, they don't want to be left out or feel like, oh, we're old. So if we stop supporting Tyler, guess what? They're going to stop seeing his films.
Oh, right.
Because there's no, and it's because Craig Robinson and Kerry Washington are both crossover actors, and you mean to and both on successful shows, and you mean to tell me that film only did $4 million?
Yeah, and you want to talk about Kerry Washington and the amount of work that she put in? God,
yeah.
She played in a bunch of black movies. You know what
yep.
I mean? And everybody acts like she's a new talent. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, Scandal, Kerry Washington. Yeah, she's been around for a minute. She's put in her work. So I never have anything negative to say about her. But I want to remind
you to say about Ms. Dent.
Oh, whatever. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. We'll take a break and come back with our main topic today. Anyway, we'll talk about that. Dial in 909-265-9189. We'll be back after this message. And we have I had to play this music to calm you down for nothing.
This is a story about BK from BK. Bernard King from Brooklyn, New York. It's 1984. The garden is packed, and I'm sitting in the last row. I mean, I could touch the roof. And Bernard King, he was giving the Knicks the business. 10, 20, 40 points. Second half, 50, 60 points. He was stopping and popping, posting and toasting. All hail the King. And you know what? You never know who's going to wear the crown next.
Before the...
What if you have potatoes, but you've got a meat and potatoes guy? Pour chunky sirloin burger soup over those mashed potatoes, and dinner is served. 4 minutes, around $4. Campbell's Chunky. It's amazing what soup can do.
Dove Men Plus Care presents How to Stay in Shape. Step one, gotta work those arms.
How was it?
Good. Step two, keep those legs strong. And step three, don't forget your back. Dove Men Plus Care. Care for what matters.
Only the best dishes make Applebee's 2 for 20 menu. And our newest entrees are just bursting with the jazzed up flavors of Bourbon Street.
Alan, stay focused, buddy. Just need to know that these are your best dishes at a great value.
Yeah, of course.
Who are you talking to, anyway?
The world.
The new creamy Cajun steak and shrimp and Cajun shrimp pasta. Big easy means big value on our famous 2 for 20 menu. One app, two entrees, only $20. See you tomorrow.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome, on with Vanessa. What's up, Vanessa?
You said welcome back.
Yeah, I said welcome back. I got a little tongue-tied on that. Coming back, I was hitting the button in between me saying the word. I thought it sounded like black to me, too. Welcome back. Welcome back to Black on Black Crime.
Hey, I think you better tell Lavinia in the chat room. Don't be making promises you can't keep.
All right, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth, Jeff. I'll mute him, Lavina, anytime you want. So,
well, I get a flag for that. How is she the new commissioner? I need a commissioner that's gonna be on
when
my
the commissioner's here. She's been here long enough. She's kind of earning that through regulating from the chat room.
Don't the owners get a say so in something? Y'all can't be bringing commissions all in here willy nilly.
She is appointed chat room commissioner, so hey, let it fly.
You know what? I'm gonna have to, folks out there, if you listening, if you think that's unfair, please write Esprey at Black on Black Crime
at soulofsyracuse.com, and I'll delete it as soon as I get it. Because you just made a statement. See, the reason that Finesse can't be commissioner, because Finesse has no parameters.
I know I don't have no filters.
He has no parameters or filters.
But see, I want a commissioner that I could bribe. See, you have these commissioners. Now you got Commish, you got Levine. You see, you could bribe them, and they'll be knowing the little slick stuff that you say that you should give facts for.
They all know that everything's righteous on my end. So
Where is Kai?
Peace out to your business. Kai is not with us at the moment. And you can't bribe Kai.
Where's my man Daniel at? Where's my sidekick at?
I know. You know, I told you Daniel would have been happy about the Maya talk on the show. You know how you won't let us talk about that other girl, Zadana?
Hey, wait. What I tell you before? If you can't pronounce
I'm sorry, that's not her
name,
first name, is it?
If you can't pronounce my wife's name, don't say it. Zoe
right.
Zadana.
And so Daniel won't let us talk about Maya. So I just want to say that there's people who are off the list. And when we came into the show, I think I'm going to create on SolarSearches.com a list for this year's most beautiful people. And it's going to be a blacklist of beautiful people. I'm tired of everybody, People Magazine, and everybody coming out with their list. I am going to send one out, and we are going to vote, and we are going to come up with our top 10.
Hey,
so every year.
I'll put it on the blog.
Okay. Well,
and by the
I'm going to create it.
And by the way, I might have me a commission on my side. I see you got a flag.
Who gave me a flag?
You got a flag. Let me write this down on this date. You got a flag. That's what you get. You speaking for somebody.
Wait. So I didn't say anything about bribe. That was finesse. How finesse don't make me into a flag?
Everybody, America, you heard him. He said
that was a flag.
He said he appointed her commish. Now he trying to come back after she checked him.
Okay.
Good job.
Okay, I see where this is going. That was a flop. If I ever see one, finesse baited me into a flag in the chat
room. I didn't bait
you.
I didn't bait you. You said those words. You're not a puppet. You ain't sitting on my lap.
Yeah, that's just true. Hey, I can't say nothing about that. That is not. All right, so welcome back to Black on Black Crime. This show is normally about when black people overanalyze, criticize, or overtly analyze, criticize, or focus on black people in areas they won't do for anyone else. Now, let's go into our topic of Toni Braxton versus Shamar Moore. Now, I'm going to get flags on this for even bringing this up. And it's right, I probably shouldn't bring this up, but when I saw the story, I kept thinking, this is silly and stupid, and I don't like when we have so much gossip stuff out there. So let's just go. Shamar Moore recently opened up about his past romances in an interview and referred to his relationship with Toni Braxton as a wild ride. Now, he said, she was my first Hollywood relationship. I was a baby. I didn't know Jack. He didn't say that. He used the S word. He said, I had just graduated from college. I had no money. I was on Young and the Restless. She called my agent. When she was shooting a video in Miami, it went there from there. I was like a little kid who found the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It was a wild ride with Toni. She would never sing for me, though. That always bothered me. That's all he said. Now, this fictitious report pops up, reported that a family friend said that Toni was very upset about Shamar's remarks, adding that Shamar made it sound like Toni was chasing him just to have sex. Now,
where did they get that from?
I don't know. This is why I'm thinking somebody made this up. When it says a family friend said Toni was upset, I'm going to question this. So the Inquirer reported it, and other people start reporting off of it. So, you know, you don't really take those people.
Well, had she come back and said it wasn't true that she didn't say that?
Well, I'm not sure if that's her job to do it, but maybe not. They're saying that she said she thought the comments were in poor taste, and he compared her to Halle Berry. That's just classless and disrespectful. It's so petty of him to kiss and tell. It's what that whole report said.
Well, 9 times out of 10, they probably already knew, you know, that he was messing with Haley. Plus, there's pictures of them together. So what's the big deal? You dated. He didn't say anything, and he didn't say anything else.
He didn't say anything wrong.
Yeah, wild ride to me means it was a great time, it was a great relationship. Because I remember reading the whole thing, and he said he would never go into details about anybody. Because he named some, you know, they asked him about some other people. So I read the full interview. I'm like, what is it to be upset about?
Right. And that's the point, right? So you're making something out of nothing. All he said is a wild ride, and you can read into that whatever you want. And apparently they read sex into it. Whatever.
Well,
go ahead. Go ahead. No, matter of fact, I'm not going to let you go ahead. I know where this is going. So
I wasn't going nowhere. I mean, duh.
Okay, fine. So when talking about Halle, this is what he said. She was the first woman. Now, this might be a black on black rant. She was the first woman to really knock my socks off. I fell hard for Halle. A lot of people know we dated, but we both kept it hush-hush at the time because she was fresh off her divorce from David Justice. Now, he's blowing him out of the water. But anyway, I'm still grateful for that relationship. I was smitten just because of who she was, not just because of who she was, but because we were so similar in many ways. She was biracial. I guess that's the reason I like her, and because he is. He said she was...
Halle Berry.
Yeah, no, he's talking about Halle.
Yeah.
At that point. He said she was kind of going through the same things in Hollywood, Tony was a fun ride. Yeah, well, I guess he did compare him. Tony was a fun ride, but Holly was a necessary experience. He said, it made me stronger as a man and knowing the caliber of woman that I wanted in the future.
Well, I mean, still, again, that doesn't mean anything. I think he really fell in love with Hallie, but he had a good time with Tony. I don't think either one is bad. Shawan's not that kind of he's not that kind of guy that puts that stuff out there. He ain't a Wesley Snipes. Now, you ask Wesley Snipes about either one of them, and you're gonna get a whole different kind of language. I think it was. I mean, you're going to get asked those type of questions, and even from a PR standpoint, I mean, he didn't say anything wrong.
Right. You know, and that's my whole thing, you know, is if he didn't say anything wrong, he just told his side of the story, and you got to let that ride, right? If that's his interpretation, that's just his interpretation, but you can't just go back and just say, hey, wait a minute, now he's bashing me because he's talking about our story. I don't know, she was at the pinnacle of her career, kind of, so they probably were.
Don't be like Kerry Rose.
Okay, here you go. All right, now.
Don't be like Kerry Rose. You don't want pictures and people to jump out the closet.
All right, to Lavina. Lavina in the chat room. Okay, now I'm going to take your comments from earlier today. She had comments about Tony and Shamar, and she says, she wants to make a citizen's arrest. See, she asked for this earlier. That's why she was deputized. She said, I think a citation needs to be issued to BET.com and BASIP or whoever is reporting this trash. Shamar answered the question during an interview. He was candid, but he didn't call her out. If anything, he put himself out there for being young and inexperienced when he dated her. And two, I believe that they are repeating a report from the stinking National Enquirer, who said that they got the quote from an insider. Yeah, that's where they said they got it from.
Well,
so,
you know, that's how this reporting is now, is that people hear stuff. There was somebody that just got from the New York Times got fired 2 weeks ago because he reported on a story he saw on the Internet. He made it his own and didn't fact check, and they fired him. And, of course, he had to be a brother. But yes.
Right,
and we don't count BET because it ain't black owned. BASA, yeah.
but they are a one continuous black owned black crime, so I can't really even mess with them.
See, and I'm gonna throw a flag on you. I'm gonna get an investigator.
Well,
I see you. Ladies and gentlemen, he is in the chat room where I'm supposed to be paying attention to the show, and this is why I got to keep my chat room open on him. Because he be getting away with stuff and bribing. I see him.
I'm not.
You
I
cannot
she
have
to
private
pull her
conversations.
Flag.
You cannot
okay.
have private
stay,
conversations.
Stay in the show,
with the commish.
Stay in the show. Pull it back.
You can't have.
Pull it back. Stay in
that's,
the show.
That's another crime. I'm talking to
stay
the commish.
The
I'm talking to the commish. Commish is not fair.
You, hey,
I'm talking
wait a
about
minute.
Today's commish, not Kathleen.
We're talking
King
about
here.
You're talking about
so
chat
got,
room commish. You're talking about
that's
chat
right.
commish.
That's right.
Different. All right. Well, see. she can't be siding with you just because she feels sorry for you. That is
you,
just wrong right
you,
there.
Wait a minute. You deputized her. Did you not?
Okay, fine. All right. So on to the world of news and entertainment.
Fairness.
Because
now I feel like a white man.
I don't know what that means exactly. All right. In the world of news and entertainment, because technically there was no flags on the show today.
Oh,
there
here
were
we
citations
go.
All over.
Here we go.
Well, we can't. Okay, let's go back to the main topics. Tony Braxton and Shamar, black on black crime, was one committed? I don't think so. Because we can't tell if Tony even made those statements. It's just gossip. And we normally don't do gossip on the show, but today that was a gossip, right?
That was something.
Can we agree with
I just,
that?
I thought it was just silly.
Okay. Now, tennis pro Sloane Stephens and Serena Williams, there was no crime committed there. She cleared it up herself.
Yeah. No,
I thought that was very wrong.
Yep.
That was great. Now, I was about to commit the crime. To the black journalist, I was going to say the black guy, the guy who wrote the article, Hicksploitation and Other White Stereotypes Seen on TV, Aaron Deegans.
Oh yeah, he
did. He commit a black on black crime?
Oh yes, he did.
Okay,
he made one because he was trying to make it seem like we're crying about stuff that we ain't even crying about. No one cares. There's black folks that watch Honey Boo Boo too. I don't care about that, and no one else cares. So why are you speaking for us?
Right. Right, so he did cross the line, and technically, since he is black, we would think that we go by with a mere understanding that you should have just kind of a floor there, not a ceiling, a floor. There are things that you should not be comparing, and that is one of them. My Baby's Mamas is not a legitimate drama. There is drama in it, but it's not something that
who
you should
wanna
be showing
see
your
kids. A show with a man that has 10 kids by, what, 4 different baby mamas?
Hey, stop plugging them. They'll go on
DVD
at some point.
but you know what? Here's a sad thing. Those episodes have already been recorded.
Oh, they've already been shot. Yeah,
they're going to air.
Right. They're going to air someplace.
Yeah.
Because they're going to try to recoup their costs.
Oh, they're going to recoup the costs. And when they see the numbers, and let's be real, when white media sees the numbers that it pulls in, it'll be more shows.
Right. There will be. Now, let's go to the world of entertainment news and entertainment. Now, last week I missed this, but I wanted to talk about Tanya Lewis Lee, Spike Lee's wife. She has launched a new website for women's health called healthyounow.com. She wrote, "As a mom, daughter, sister, and friend, I can't fathom any woman being able to, afford being in the dark about various forms of birth control available and other women's issues. As a result, I am at the forefront of bringing awareness to the common problems of young women. My digital health and wellness platform, healthyyounow.com, has just launched a web-wide awareness initiative in partnership with Bedsider.org. I don't know who those guys are, but she said the motivation behind this initiative is to educate women on available birth control options and encourage more honest, open conversations about sex. Now, if you don't know, Tanya Lee Lewis is the founder and editor-in-chief of Healthy You Now, and she's a national best-selling author, TV producer. She has a show that's coming out as well. I think we talked about it on a show before. And she's the national spokesperson for the Office of Minority Health. And she just began producing her full-length film herself. So I just wanted to make sure I did that in our news. And NBC has picked up the 1960s crime drama Ironside, starring Blair Underwood. They officially set the hour-long drama time slot for Wednesdays at 10 o'clock. I put an ad on our site for it. Wednesdays, 10 o'clock, Ironside. And Lance Gross has a thriller called Crisis. This is
it produced by Tyler Perry?
No, but it's got to be. Yeah, he's only been in a bunch of Tyler Perry films, huh? That's a black-on-black crime by you, by the way.
How that black-on-black crime? But this ass was it produced by Tyler Perry?
You didn't ask. You actually projected it. You used that as a slam.
I asked you.
Well, let me go in the chat room. Wait a minute. Do I see a flag? No, I don't see one yet, but somebody's not on their job. All right, our chat commish is not on her job today because you deserve the flag for that one. She gave me one.
I did not. I just asked for Tyler Perry producing it. How is that a flag?
Now,
don't try to get me a flag because you get one.
Wait a minute, but Crisis is, I think, is like Scandal. It's a political drama.
Yeah, I've seen the
it's
promo
a white
for that.
Female that's the lead too. A white female is the lead.
If you notice now on TV, they're all producing the same shows.
It's the white scandal.
Yeah,
that's not a black crime, is it?
It will be if Scandal get canceled.
Oh, that's true. But they also got renewed, so they actually returned.
And well, you
Scandal.
I mean, you have to. You being a number two drama. And you're number one among women. I think the women are 35 up.
Yep.
That show is not going anywhere until the women stop watching it.
Oh, that's true. Now, ABC has picked up The Returned, which is now officially titled Resurrection. Now, it's Omar Epps is I don't know what that means. Omar Epps landed the top role in the serial adaptation of the author Mott debut novel called The Return. So it's the show is going to be called The Resurrection, and that's on ABC. Omar Epps is the only black character in an all-white cast, but hey, he's the lead character.
That's a, like, if I've already seen a lot of those shows, and you're going to see more of that one black character or one minority amongst the all-white cast, and some of those are set in big cities like Chicago, New York, Atlanta.
Yeah. Now, Jason Mott is a black novelist, though. He wrote the book. And apparently,
have you
Brad
read the
Pitt? No. But apparently, Brad Pitt has been on him to get him to sign a production deal because he said once people get to him, he's going to be the hottest thing smoking.
It so should have been a movie.
Yes.
Not a TV show.
Really? Okay. I never saw it. So.
Yeah. It should have been a movie. And we'll see. But I will say this, and I'll probably be doing probably June or July. I'll probably once I get all the stuff that's definitely going to be on the schedule, I'll be letting readers know and, of course, you know, Soul of Syracuse know the shows that have black actors, actresses in them, because I always say if they're in the show, it is, in my book, considered a black show.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not saying
for
if the
us
show
to report
is whack,
on them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying if the show is whack. If it's whack, don't watch it. But at least,
exactly.
You know, at least give it a try. I put out there last week about Deception because I was going to start, maybe we need to start a letter writing campaign. I was hoping that one of the networks would pick it up, one of the black networks. They haven't. But, you know, some people said they couldn't get into it, said it was too slow, and I kind of agree, you know, when you watch the first episode.
It was really long-winded for me.
Yeah,
but.
It was. But after a while, it really was good. But, you know, and I see what they're doing. They're getting bankable blacks. You know, Omar Epps just got off a House. Eight years on that and had a great, strong role in that. I can see Lance Gross. He's all over the TV and movies thanks to Tyler Perry. But we're going to really see if people are going to really watch these shows. And, folks, I've seen Ironside. It ain't the same Ironside, but it's good.
Yeah, and apparently Blair Underwood had a production deal with NBC, a development deal, for years, and this is the first thing that he's gotten since then.
Well, he's taken so many different ideas to him, and they went against it that he decided to go in and do something else. Now, and if it does do well, there are a series of other old school shows that'll be made into new school shows. I do want to say this though. ABC, this show comes on, it's going to kill the ratings because from what I'm looking at, it's going to be, as J.J. Walker would say, dynamite. The Marvels, the comic book The Shield. Oh man, that's coming on ABC. Oh,
right.
I can't wait. And there's talks to do Hulk next year. It was supposed to come out this year, but it's going to come out next year. But yeah.
And you know, Lifetime ordered a new unscripted comedy. I don't know how this is going to be, talking about baby's mamas. It's called Pretty Wicked Moms. Now, Pretty Wicked Moms with their adorably fashionable children, high-end lifestyle, and hilarious views on motherhood.
And
it says it will. Yeah, it says it will grace the small screen on Lifetime starting Tuesday, June 4th at 10 p.m. Now, the press release says the hardest part about being a mom is having to keep a human being alive. I think this is going to be one ghetto kind of, it's an unscripted comedy. That's what they're now starting to call reality shows now, since reality shows have stigma.
Because they don't want to be, Now, there's one for the ladies out there, Michael Ealy, which I was hoping his show on the USA Today would get picked up, but people didn't watch it. But he has a new show coming out on Fox this fall where he plays an android. He's a police officer, but he's an android, not really, but he's an android police officer. And he's paired off with another up-and-coming actor. I think it's part human.
Right.
Part Human, I think that's the name of the show. But that too is coming out. I mean, there are some shows we're starting to see, you know, we're not the lead, but we're there. But it's the point of what they basically say to us, like, hey, we're going to give you some time, watch the shows, but if you don't perform or doesn't perform, we can say, see, we told you. Because last year NBC canceled, which I thought was a great show, they didn't give it time to develop, the one with Boris Kojov, where they played spies.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And they didn't even give that a shot. After 3 episodes, they canceled that. And that's to say, they don't do other shows, but, you know, they put them up against the wrong times, too.
Yeah, I wasn't going to talk about the shows that didn't get picked up, but, like, Beverly Hills Cop didn't get picked up by CBS with Eddie Murphy and I forget his name. But they chose to pass on that, and Craig Robinson's show, they passed on that for this coming season.
Well, I'm hoping that BET or somebody picks up Peoples as a TV show. That's how good the movie.
Oh yeah, that probably would be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen the movie yet, but like I said, I know that Tina Chisholm, she wrote for Cosby, and she worked in the business a long time. And
she did
from
ATL,
what I understand,
she did Drumline.
She did.
I mean,
Drumline.
She has a resume. She's no slouch.
Yeah.
And if you go see the movie, you'll like it.
Yeah, and since that was her directorial debut, that's why I actually spoke about it. But, you know, just because it is good to see that she's putting it out there. And I have to give respect for Tyler Perry for one of his projects to say that they went to a bunch of people to sell it, and Tyler Perry really wanted it. The mistake probably was putting his name on it, but beyond that, just having
that
movie out there probably would have been. Yeah, it probably was that. Now, Sony and Screen Gems have moved the release date to Think Like a Man 2 from what was previously set for May 30th, but now it's at June 20th, 2014. I don't know what that means in the big picture. And a fourth Men in Black movie has been greenlit by Sony Pictures. Now, they don't know if Will Smith will return for the fourth one, but Men in Black 3 this summer made $260 million less than the first one and about $100 million less than the second one.
And it still was a hit.
Yeah, and check this out. It managed worldwide to gross over $624 million. It was $260 million less. So it's still very successful as a franchise.
Yeah, well,
their budget was $225 million, by the way, but they made $624 million.
Well, I know that if Will is in it, from what I heard from the last one, they're rebooting the whole thing, and it's supposed to start off from folks, you didn't go see Men in Black 3, you need to go see it because I'm about to give it away. Men in Black 3 showed how Jay became, or how Jay and what's his name?
I think Men in Black 3 is really, really good. I mean, it talks about quantum, and you know, I love quantum mechanics, quantum physics stuff. That is what that show is about. If you can get into it, you will see how Matrix works. It pretty much talks about it the same way.
Right. So actually, what they did was rebooted it where it's going to start off from that beginning up and lead up to the point. So whether they do flashbacks or whatever they do, but I think, from my understanding, Jaden is supposed to be...
I was going to play him when he was little.
Yes, when he was younger.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool. Let's go. Oh, you know what? In Adult Swim, you watch Adult Swim.
The Boondocks.
Yes, Adult Swim, which was launched in 2001, is a Turner Broadcasting System network, right? It is basic cable's number one network for people from 18 to 34 and 18 to 49. Has about 99 million U.S. homes, is where it is. They announced that Aaron McGruger has 2 live-action pilots coming up, and The Boondocks has been returned for a new season.
Okay,
so
that's what I was about to ask, because I've been looking for that and hadn't seen it. I heard the rumors they were, but yeah, okay, good.
Yep, so, and they have a new animated series now. Don't laugh at
Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson Mysteries.
I think that's going to be a classic.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't commit the crime on this one, but it's called Mike Tyson's Mysteries. And check this out, what it's about. First of all, it's Mike Tyson. But Mike Tyson is actually going to kind of work in it. So Mike Tyson Mysteries has, what did it say? Mike Tyson is taking the fight from boxing, from the boxing ring to the streets by solving mysteries armed with a magical... Yeah, with a foul-mouthed trusty sidekick that's a pigeon in foul-mouth. So if you had a problem, if you have a problem that needs solving, Iron Mike Tyson is in your corner.
That's sort of like black-on-black crime. I'm the foul-mouthed pigeon.
We're not going to go there. And plus, oh, wait a minute. Robert Johnson, BET Robert Johnson. You know that they have launched two paid channels on YouTube?
That's another topic we're going to have to get into, because I can tell you this, folks. You're going to have to start paying to use YouTube.
Oh, no. These are pay channels for YouTube.
Listen to what I'm saying. YouTube is going to start charging people to use it.
Okay. So one of the programs that's supposed to be on his channel is called this program called 35 and Ticking, starring Kevin Hart and Megan Good. All Things Fall Apart, starring 50 Cent and Lynn Whitfield. The Last Fall, featuring Lance Gross and Vanessa Bell Calloway, and I Ain't Scared of You. Right, but they're going to play them on their new YouTube channel, on one of them. I don't know if it's on Q or the Acorn TV. I don't know. That's what I'm reading. All right, you have nothing to say about that.
I don't, because I know it was Compact and. The reason, I mean, we'll have to get into that. We have to dedicate a thing to YouTube, but YouTube is not going to be what people think it is. There may be something that they may scale down for free, but the majority of YouTube they're going to start paying for it.
Yeah, and it's just like being on Facebook, where they're owning the rights to first publish material that you put on there. So you publish it someplace else before you put it on there, because they're going to lay claim to it.
Yeah, and here's another thing, folks. Don't forget to check out Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon.com, because they're also, too, going to be streaming brand new episodes. Arrested Development, I believe, is on Netflix, and brand new season. So the world of TV, the world of entertainment is opening. The opportunities are endless for you folks that have, you know, comic strips, comic books, black films.
Oh, yeah.
Your avenues are there.
Just programming in general.
Yeah, you just have to take it. You have to learn to study about it and keep the percentage of your money yourself. You know, the opportunity is there. You just got to want it and do it.
There you go. All right. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. We'll be back again next week, 2 p.m. Eastern. Tune in and check us out. All right, Vanessa, we'll get with you next week.
Peace.
All right, peace.